bones are solid. But Spinosaurus bone do also contain significant air pockets, it turns out, according to Serino. Well, I've never hefted a Spinosaurus bone in my life. I have no idea, but that's what he says. Dense as the hind limbs might
have been, like to call in
they were relatively small,
questions.
Reducing their
extremely
effectiveness
complicated
or buoyancy control.
Questions that require a lot of thought.
Then I ask you, why were they in a parasitic
land that big account? We're gonna alter some basic principles here. Yes, we're gonna break a lot of records here in the studio today. That's our nature, always to advance further on, to push the edge of the envelope into the fire or whatever it is that one does. So that edgy envelope has edged its last scratchy centimeter over the unforgiving terrain. How about the way those big brains crawled through the grass and reeds and plants and
so
hot and so forth? It seemed they were right there on the ground. When they turned into puddles of slime, you could see that sinking into the ground.
So,
whatever.
That's what.
It's live on radio.
And it's a wonderful time to be free, as Steely Dan said. I can hear it a lot better without the headphones, because the speaker is actually quite good.
That fixes everything.
This is the landscape of Mordency. Tombs dot the ground.
Here's the new dawn for America.
Yes, it's blown up to large size and decoupaged to a piece of plywood.
And you can still do your dishes with it.
That's right. Now America can own a piece of the new dawn.
New dawn
of a new political administration. A bright light painted by Thomas Kincaid, painter of light.
And your hands are soaking in it.
What? No, no, ew.
With tiny electrical lights built right in.
I was
going
to hang out with Madge.
Batteries not included.
She'd know all the answers because she works in one of those you're soaking in it places.
Yes. If you act right now, you get a second brilliant landscape decoupaged onto plywood for the same price.
Oh, it's heavy.
Its hernia-inducing heaviness will keep burglars from removing it from your home.
Well,
but they'll want to because of its incredible
expensiveness. It's too heavy. It's too heavy.
It's heavy, dude.
Much of an attempt to be made for comfort.
Yeah.
And jolt and jar your bones eventually.
Yeah.
It might be
I won't say it on the air.
A mass spike of suicide, the people immolating themselves.
How about Norman Thompson?
It's not going to be on the quiz.
No, he's abnormal. Sorry, it's not in your father's textbook.
It could be on the
syllabus.
It could be on the supplement to the test. Which
what about the,
extra
the toad that got run over with the lawnmower?
What about that pathetic toad? A toad. The power mower caught, chewed and clipped of a leg, with a kind of hobbling hop has got to the garden verge and sanctuaried him under the cineraria leaves in the shade of the ashen heart-shaped leaves and a dim, a low, and a final glade. The rare original heart's blood flows, spends, flat on the earthen hide, flows in the folds and wisenings of the banked and staring eyes. He
lies as still as if he would return to stone, and soundlessly attending, dies toward some deep monotone, toward distant and ebullient seas and cooling shores, toward lost amphibious empires. Day dwindles, drowning, and at last is gone in the banked and staring eyes, which still appear to watch across the castrate lawn the haggard daylight steer. That was written by Richard Wilbur. He was the poet laureate of the United States, and I guess he ran over toads with a lawnmower too, as I used to, dang it, because you can't see the toads in the grass, and then you hit their little soft bodies with the lawnmower. And then, well, for those toadettes, that's all she wrote. I wish you luck in that enterprise.
Wish you long life and happiness
of thing, and getting it properly adjusted makes all the difference.
Sure does.
Yes. The ability to get one's own feedback is not only necessary for navigation purposes, but actually produces a feeling of satisfaction.
6 minutes after midnight,
seems to be what one can rely on
here on the show. Ask Dr. Hal Show, live on radio. And now it's 7 minutes after midnight.
Soon I'll be going.
Well, yeah, play some more of that. Okay.
Now I'll just continue. Because this soon comes the time when we have to
depart.
Have to get up and from the path and
get the lead out.
Essentially, close down. Now what is happening?
Get some.
There is something very
traction on the action.
Getting brethren within the church.
You know,
get the lead out of your treads.
Find them the
as the robots
most compelling will say for the existence of the Church of the Subgenius. The yet in sin who have infiltrated into the ranks.
I wouldn't say the most compelling.
At first, everybody's going to be tickled that the robots can speak slang, but in a very short time they get sick of it because
and primitive sources.
It's like they never take you seriously.
They'll understand that we understood some of the things.
The robots are supposed to serve people, not the other way around. And I don't care who knows it.
Even in our own primitive.
All right, you rampaging robots.
Radio, this is Ralph Fielding Snell.
And a radar-activated robot known as Roger.
Sigh. So sad, so fresh, the subgeniuses that are no more.
Of all the science fiction contraptions, why do we have to have them?
Whatever, I'll take what I can
get. Gosh darn robots.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Well, that is most unfortunate. I guess
artificial intransigence.
Satisfying, dissatisfying.
Let's be satisfied. I'm getting satisfied right now.
Mr. Pepe swept from the room. The way gorgeous tragedy comes sweeping by, presenting Thebes or Pelops' line, or the tale of Troy divine.
What the rare of later age, ennobled half the buskined stage. But oh, sad virgin, that thy power might raise Musaeus from his bower. Musaeus was the father of Orpheus, as I think everybody knows. Or bid the soul of Orpheus sing such notes as warbled through the string, drew iron tears down Pluto's cheek, and made hell grant what love did seek.
That was when Orpheus descended into the underworld.
You having any improvement there?
Not really, but no, I guess that's just the way it goes. Falls onto people's attention.
Have you read In the Penal Colony?
Yes.
My friend's Gusto, what a story that is.
Well, that's the first one. That was, it was Zappa's reference to that on his album cover that turned me and I'm sure everybody else on to Franz Kafka.
Well, Crumb illustrated
album
it
there
in his book on Kafka.
I mean, no one had ever recommended a book on an album cover. You know, that itself was revolutionary.
Well, Michael Ray Bradbury included the
it's
story.
It's strange how that synergy went
in his...
Plus all his quoting...
anthology.
Perez and...
Timeless stories.
You know, trying to take...
For today and tomorrow.
Rock fans into a wider view.
That's where I read it first as a child.
Is pretty commendable.
What a great anthology that is.
Physically, emotionally, and mentally.
It's almost hard to find a... sacred subgenius church. They're somewhat magical.
They're running. We have them up and running. You've got to look in the right places. In fact, I can direct
particularly the ones that we are close to.
You should subscribe to the subgenius in-house publications.
Our
the Stark Fist of Removal.
In the vertebrae.
The Vault of Slack.
If you
and
took out
the Dobstown
all of the
Mirror.
Church,
currently
movies,
running.
TV shows, books.
And then my show, my live show, the Ask Dr. Household Home Edition, is a source of information about the current operating of the Subgenius Church.
There'll be a lot missing.
Matter of fact, last week...
So don't not watch my show and then complain that the church isn't doing anything.
No.
Get that cat out of here.
Anyway.
Every wolf
elephants
and lion's howl raises from hell a human soul.
It looks like a monkey chasing something.
Bears.
Yes, they've all been in...
And we had a lander there.
You know, it's like you put that many rebel camps on Earth and you would not
here
see a fraction of what's actually there.
The human soul from
my lip zipped about that one.
Misused breeds public strife.
Not my time yet, Lord.
And yet... All right, forgive the butcher's knife, the bat that flits at close of eve has left the brain that won't believe. The owl that calls upon the night speaks the unbeliever's fright. He who shall hurt the little wren never shall be loved by men. Him who the ox to wrath hath moved shall never be by woman loved. The wanton boy that kills the fly shall feel the spider's enmity. He who torments the chafer's sprite weaves a bower in endless night. The caterpillar on the leaf repeats to thee thy mother's grief. Slay not the moth nor the butterfly, for the last judgment draweth nigh. He who shall train the horse to war shall never cross the polar bar. The beggar's dog and widow's cat, feed them and thou wilt grow fat. The gnat that sings the summer long, poison yets from slander's tongue. The poison of the snake and newt is the sweat of envy's foot. The poison of the honeybee is the artist's jealousy. The prince's robes, the beggar's rags, are toadstools on the miser's bags. A truth that's told with bad intent beats all the lies you can invent. It is right. It should be so. Man was made for joy and woe. Joy and woe are woven fine, tangled both with silken twine. Under every joy and pine runs a loop of silken twine. The babe is more than swaddling bands. Throughout all these human lands, tools were made, and made were hands. Every farmer understands. Every tear from every eye becomes a babe in eternity. This is caught by females bright and returned to its own delight. The bleat, the bark, bellow and roar are waves that beat on heaven's shore. The babe that weeps the rod beneath writes revenge in realms of death. The poor man's farthing is worth more than all the gold on Afric's shore. One mite wrung from the laborer's hands shall buy and sell the miser's lands. Or, if protected from on high, does that whole nation sell and buy? Folks, before too long, I'm going to close this thing down early. I always try, but I get caught up in it, and I don't really close it that early. But I've got to toddle over to the cartoon meeting and start drawing my comics. And I'll say toodaloo and depart. While I'm cleaning up my mess here, I'll be playing some discs. That is still a ways from now. Let us continue on our special path, as prophesied by many, including the old man in the boat. Let's see what Michael Pepe has to say. We talked to Michael Pepe today. Let's see what Michael has to say.
Do it even if you don't want to do it.
Come on, do it. I've got you here. Let's hear what you got to say. Do it.
Do it because I'm telling you to do it.
Do it because this show requires you to do it.
Telling you. Look at him.
Now he's being Mr. Close-Mouthed Peppy.
Now go on. Go.
This is his caprice to deprive us of his voice on this occasion.
You know you're gonna go.
Why must you be so contrarian?
No, if you don't, they're all gonna laugh at you. Keep on. Go. More chicken. Why you wait? You're not gonna not do what I say.
We don't need to,
You know.
Yes, but
minutes it's gonna be done. And
yeah, I know, but
I know, but they won't know why.
But we
so you just keep moving, keep going.
Yeah, but I'm trying to do this show here.
And people gonna talk about you for a long time.
No, I've got the people outside peering, their faces pushed against the glass.
And I'm gonna live on it and get fat on it.
I say live it or live with it.
Listen, chicken egg. You're talking already. And you're starting to love it, too. Come on, chicken. You're almost famous. Go. Go, chicken. You can do it. Come on, chicken.
nailed it right there, White Oak.
Chicken, you did it.
No one calls me chicken. Because that confuses me with chicken.
I think you'd go.
Let's go, go, go.
I thought you'd fall over dead.
All right, I
start.
But
I didn't.
We'll return to the Michael Pepe moment in just a moment. But first,
and I'm proud of you.
A word from your sponsor.
World's gonna wonder.
Can you get
the
sky off the
time?
I can't reach it from here. Just turn it down.
What would possess a chicken like you? And nobody will know.
You know. And you can't ever say.
And I know. And I won't ever tell. And the mystery of all eternity will remain unsolved.
And I've made you do it. A million years from now, little kids are gonna ask their mothers why.
And chicks are gonna ask their daddies why.
Keeping their answers to that far-off future generation. When both men and women are bald, have big heads and little bodies. But they don't need to support their weight. They have devices that do it for them. They live in enormous archipelagos.
The point is, now that means that you are cued in.
But the planet supports a huge population.
How about that, Michael Pepe?
Yes. It's a real beat thing, dude.
It sounds wacky and far out to us, but that's the way the humans of the future will live, if you call it living.
You're getting the lead out of your trim.
Get some traction on the action,
yeah, sure.
Without faction. Call to action.
Let me try some of that. Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, let's try the special wheezing weed of wisdom.
I'll light it up for you.
I've never had it before.
Hold on just a minute. Here. Well, I now take a deep breath.
And then there was, the other thing, softer and wimpier and more careful.
Soft pedals,
less concussive for cranium.
Yeah. And I understand, the brain does take a terrible beating, but
the brain may no longer be the boss.
Choose what they want.
I am a robot. Get out of here. Goddamn device.
Yes. Diddle that chicken with a chicken patty.
Some people think that's me. This
can you see? This is an android human.
A robot.
A rotation.
It doesn't even look like
a robot.
The robots have won.
They got out of the closet somehow. They were supposed to stand there ready to be sent into action. They moved on their own.
I thought they were just trying to make us frustrated in the future. They are. Just like that clock.
This is the future. Tomorrow is today.
A big sledgehammer. I'm going to move that rock.
No, you can't damage a robot with a sledgehammer. It costs as much as four cars.
It's just somebody's ego.
I wouldn't hit that bot if I or try.
Let's put that guy's ego and replace the rock with the ego.
It's just an attempt to communicate with the far, far future.
Bye,
future. The future doesn't want to be communicated with.
Now what am I going to do?
Not that way.
The future.
Send a message in a bottle. Write a note, put it in a bottle, and throw it in the ocean. Just like we used to do.
I want the future to love me.
Me too. I want the future to love you.
I want the future to love me.
You want the future to be sad.
The past is fiction anyway.
You want the future to be sad that you're not here anymore.
I don't want the future to cry.
The future, I want the future to hold me and be able to kiss you.
The future will be glad it's shut of me.
And worship
and that's why I'm ready to die.
Just love it. Just love it.
And that's why I'm ready to die.
I saw what you said.
That's why I'm ready to die. My loved ones all are gone, and since they've been sent
on,
I too can be ready to die.
Get up!
the founder of a Chinese brand of high-tech toilets called Trump, said he had no intention of soiling the name of America's next president. The New York Times reported Zhang Jie said he had not heard of Donald Trump when he registered the English name of his company,
Donald Shenzhen Trump
Industrial Company Limited, as a trademark sold in 2002. In Chinese, the company name means innovate universally, he said.
I'll innovate you,
toilet seats, you warm and wash the user's backside.
Oh, it's a bus.
It's
a bidet.
So eliminating the need for toilet paper?
Well,
we're not going to get toilet paper in this country.
I understand.
Trump has offended Canada, and toilet paper and paper towels will depend on a substance which comes as an import from the boreal forests of Canada, our neighbor to the north. Just like during the pandemic, but worse, people will be flogging toilet paper at outrageous prices. And that's not all. We're going to see in a very short time.
Gone soft.
The more expensive the toilet,
yes,
the more innovative.
They cracked up and went sappy.
And
the toilet generation.
They no longer have to struggle against the elements. They don't have
the elephants. Yes, they're outside, but you don't have to struggle against them. Who's going to fight them? That's your elephant.
Old plated toilet that cleans up after them. And
that's what Trump has.
Plays their favorite.
He squats on a gold plated throne,
which
he's installed in the White House.
Has hormonal discharge units that keep you in good spirits the whole time. The hormone
is pampering Trump's feces, what
the
height of our civilization should be doing. Why are people so blind?
Aromatherapy treatment. We just want a lot of love.
You get the best of the coffee bean, aroma, flavor, and not caffeine.
Fast in the future to be all huggy on me.
Not caffeine. Why bother to drink that swill?
Even though I paid $663 to get love from the future in the past.
$663?
I miss Donna Summer.
Why, I miss her in the winter and in the spring and fall.
Something, whole lot of love, and I need love.
Oh, well, you don't have to describe your personal problems here on the show, Philo. Yesterday was Philo's birthday.
Better give her some.
This is Saturday, the 2nd, I believe, of May. First,
welcome to Dougville.
It starts with May 1st.
This is your
International Workers and Labor Movement to commemorate Philo Drummond.
Artificial brains control country.
Your brain may no longer be the
ball. Remove yourself from the
verification system.
Not again.
Please,
I don't want to.
Yourself.
No,
right now.
Stop.
During the show.
Don't do it. I've got to go to next period.
Verification system.
I'm not going to take no for an answer.
How do I do this?
No, you're not.
You push that big red button there.
No,
not that one. Do not push that button.
The other big red button.
That's it, yeah.
Well, the problem is there's no reason to look what happened now.
That one is slightly larger.
I pushed the red button. Actually, I'm going to leave the red button pushed when I leave this radio station. Why bother to press the blue button? Everybody is alarmed. I feel like saying, get this elephant off my chest.
Simple and ancient primitive ritual. Cruise over to Dermophilia, see what's going on.
I would love to have a dog yurt.
A Quonset yurt.
A yurt? Well, these yurts.
A Quonset Jabba the Hutt won't yurt you. You know they're going to put the son of Jabba the Hutt in the new Star Trek movie. Or maybe it's the father of Jabba the Hutt.
The yurt is back to God.
The yurt.
I'll yurt you if you continue in this destructive fashion. And who cares about that verification system? Not me.
I'm sorry.
In every vampire's life come moments now and then when goodness seems to threaten you. Things are going wrong, and virtue succeed, remember to yourself be true. Fight hard, spread hate, and if you concentrate, a wicked thought will pull you through. Keep your eyes upon the ground, fill your heart with glow.
We're listening to Zachary performing his famous song.
To make a grave a tomb.
And it is now 12:30 a.m.
Tomorrow things will change. A darker day.
It is half past midnight
for you.
On Saturday morning in San Francisco on the 3rd of May.
And
so, what the hey?
A wicked thought.
How inspirational.
Floating.
Yes, Zachary, some think, was the greatest of the horror hosts of the past. But, of course, that has always been my aspiration to host a horror show of my own. And I might yet do it. That's all this copyright jazz. My people are working on it. But if we can arrange it, we'll have an online show. Of course, we're not the only ones. What about Mr. Lobo? He's a good friend of mine. I knew him. He's been on my show. He hosts these movies, too. Including, just recently, one made about a mummy by the filmmaker who made The Lost Skeleton of Cadavra.
I guess the show's almost over.
And more than that, we're going to show on my upcoming show, the Ask Dr. House of the Home Edition, a very rare Oob Iwerks cartoon in which Flip the Frog meets the dead and has many interactions with their skeletonous forms.
Oh, we do it all if you want. So,
you do know
you
who Oob Iwerks was.
All of you, sure.
You should. Everything Walt Disney got credit for, he did. Walt Disney couldn't even sign that famous Walt Disney signature that you see, but Oob Iwerks did.
Like that. And we've got a lot more of that stuff coming for you.
He invented
in this episode because
the method of combining live action with animation, which is far better than the crude method Disney used back in the Kansas City days when he made his Alice cartoons. He had the girl who played Alice stand in front of a pure white background, which then also crude animation was superimposed onto. But with Iwerks, you can dance with the penguins and Mary Poppins and so forth. You can do all kinds of things. Do I have to draw you a picture? Hey, get your hands up.
I'm talking. Now we're going to bring you an exclusive look at how they do decipher those scripts. How they look closely with microscope and magnifying glass, with small
a snooper scope,
writing.
You can see into that micro world
of ink laid
where everything happens real fast. If you shrink down and go there and you come back when you're really old, it'll be exactly the same because no big things will have happened.
You know,
little tiny.
There's a worldwide conspiracy right now.
Really fast.
We call it the con.
What?
There's a worldwide conspiracy.
Worldwide?
To breathe together.
Really?
Right now?
Yeah.
From Tom
right this minute?
Pharaoh.
Frankenstein.
Conspiracy to go deal with that because we're the world's
get
heroes.
Out of here.
So
yes,
they depend
we're all
on us.
That
the world's greatest heroes seeking the world's greatest donuts.
Yes. We're the last sugar dough, salt eating people.
And it wasn't for us to be fried like donuts.
Yeah,
like
the donuts. We belong dead.
I'm sorry that we have to be so great this time of the night.
Great.
Just the way things are.
Yeah. The extension
was
go.
We didn't seek it out. We didn't want it.
We didn't try.
We certainly didn't try.
We really didn't try, Brave.
We didn't try
much.
Not to fry. But
the piping hot batter. You
yeah,
didn't
try
even
not
try.
To fry this week.
And huge fluffy croissant.
Just keep going until next week, Suicide Man.
Now you're talking.
Hear the truth.
Let's have some
you'll
serious pastry.
She'll make you free.
A giant
well,
star
yeah.
of cream puff.
I want to get free donuts somewhere. Some free bagels.
Yeah, well,
but anyway,
the show.
You know that custard inside.
All who follow along with us in distant lands and foreign climes, the bright and darkened lands of the earth, and send us all your comments and letters. We welcome them as critical as they may be. Just don't send any more foreign substances. Stanislaw Zukalski himself actually distanced himself from this view, which he considered extreme and even somewhat crazy, which is amazing to be called a kook by the world's arch kook, or one of the world's arch kooks is a typically subgenius thing. But we did not believe in Zukalski's theory of the proton. That the
yes, behold the proton.
raping
well, we know what that was. The people call it a Sasquatch. It's actually a surviving form of a giant variant human called Gigantopithecus by paleontologists, but in error, according to some, because they consider it to be a human and therefore more deserving of the genus name Giganthropus. That is to say, giant man rather than giant ape, which is what Gigantopithecus means. Dig it? I thought you might.
You have bats.
Bats in your belfry.
Developing their forelimbs into wings.
Bats Battaglia.
And you have something else, which is an incredible discovery, which has been made.
Yes, it's called...
But no one knows about it. No
or actually,
it
now they're calling it...
shouting and bellowing about how dinosaurs are birds. This is just so wrong, because a third type of flying creature...
A fourth is what he means.
Now you have birds, that's type
birds,
one.
Bats, and pterosaurs are vertebrated creatures that fly.
And actually...
Other vertebrated creatures glide.
Those are the...
But Yi Qi, or Yi Yi, as it now seems to be known, is a bat-winged, quasi-reptilian creature of an entirely new genus that has never been known before until its fossil was extracted from the beds of the Liaoning province in China.
In the film that we're going to show at my show on the 6th, on Sunday... it from the beginning at 6 o'clock or you'll miss the cartoon, which is a stop-motion animation thing anyway. We are going to show an excerpt from the Adventures of
Adele Blanc-Seck.
Adele Blanc-Seck.
The Extraordinary Adventures.
She tames a pterodactyl.
Yeah, I told them about it.
Back, flying over the moonlit scene.
You know, a lot of people did watch it. We have equipment. We can tell when people are watching, and the chat box grew completely quiet when Adele Blanc-Seck was on, because everyone was watching it and not tippy-tapping messages about
not
the show.
Not when, but if. The goal shall be...
And by the way, this woman is one of the most beautiful ever seen in this movie.
Live on radio.
That's right, folks.
That's just one reason to watch it. Even if you're not interested in monsters and miracles, you could be interested in her.
We name the names.
She's marvelous.
I mean, Muck. Muck.
Names the name and rakes the muck.
I am glad that they...
finally burned this guy, this ass, who runs the sacred subgenius church, that they finally caught up with. You know, everyone, of course, is so nuts about the sacred subgenius church, but they're totally corrupt.
Well, I don't know where you get that.
It's the money.
He had to.
I don't know where that comes from.
And now he's up on charges.
I think you're confusing some stories in the news.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, it's basically, I think it's mob run as far as...
Mob Miety, he's one of our listeners in Washington, D.C. Perhaps it's him you're thinking of. Anyway, I wanted to make sure everyone who's listening understands that Ask Dr. Hal Show live on radio next... there's that fire alarm. You know, I don't believe there's a fire here at all. This time I'm going to sit right here. You know, this building's made out of brick. How could it catch on fire? There are a lot of flammable things in here. No, that people are just rowdy, playing malicious pranks. So next week, as I indicated previously, we will continue with the adventures of Sinbad the Sailor. The second voyage, which I guarantee you is more interesting than the first voyage. But actually, I think these are wonderful stories. Oh, there's that elephant with the giant tusks. Yes, simplicity of the style and the directness of the narrative. Now, you remember that Daniel Defoe made use of the same devices with equal effect as we find in The Thousand and One Nights. We can observe the artless touches of local color which convey realism, as when the newly shipwrecked Sinbad took note that both Chinese and Comoran aloes grew beside the stream which was to carry him to new adventures. Or when he remarks that the elephant's tusks were... he knew the exact size. I just mentioned them. These tusks he had conveyed to the caliph of blessed memory, Harun al-Rashid. They were, according to Sinbad, 15 feet long and 2 feet 6 in their longest circumference. This is actually the measurement of the giant long-tusked forest elephant, now extinct. They did have enormous tusks. Those of the conversations which are reported in direct speech in Sinbad's account have somehow retained their vitality and naturalness despite the lapse of centuries. And also, they've been through the ordeal of translation and retranslation. And we can try, if we like, to see how this effect is achieved, remembering how conscientiously recent writers have worked to attain the same ends and to overthrow the so-called pompous tradition of the Victorians. There are brief bits of incidental description. Fish with the heads of owls, you may remember from the episode, and the bird born from a seashell, a distant relative of the barnacle goose, which keep the reader interested, as Herodotus also discovered, as well as maintaining him in a mood of readiness to accept the fantastic. We can be aware of all these things, and yet we can be quite certain that the writer never once consciously or self-consciously made deliberate use of such tricks, although Robert Louis Stevenson did. Yeah, they wanted to take his name off the school because for some reason he became politically incorrect. But Stevenson has written such marvelous books that I don't believe he'll ever be banned except by morons, except by idiots, except by fools.
Until the project is finished, which won't be tonight. And that's my story. With its big toothy mouth.
Oh, my goodness. I had that experience, which I've related several times with those two specimens of Majungasaurus. That was scary.
Oh, I've told that story too many times.
I didn't want them to know I was there, but they saw me and they knew I was there.
Yeah, that's where artificial intelligence gets you, hunted by extinct reptiles.
Young Tyrannosaurids are presented in Steven Spielberg's The Lost World, Jurassic Park 2.
Yes, he accidentally got it right in that movie.
Fuzzball Tyrannosaurus, Jake, is the incorrect one.
Yeah, like,
you see, they persist with that, but you can't have the type of skin that would support plumes or feathers.
Yes, this is one of those things that everybody just ignores.
Support the osteoderms.
Nor is it possible that these tubercles could evolve into feathers. A feather would have to be evolved from a different type of scale.
A type of scale
that overlaps. Not the characteristic hexagonal tubercles that form the osteoderms of dinosaurs. Everybody's known about this for years. We have fossil skin from every type of dinosaur.
Well, I have heard about it. What happened to
you?
How about Triceratops? Its belly was plated like an alligator.
Put that plastic dinosaur away. Nobody's interested in it.
It was covered with downy, feathery plumes.
Yes, that was what Backer insisted.
If really Backer is a laser provocation.
Yes, they're all suspect. Including this story that somebody forwarded me, Sonya Miles forwarded it to me, that they found reproducible blood cells inside a dinosaur skull more than 65 million years old.
Have you ever heard anything like that?
And of course, this crap is passed on because nobody stops to think about any of these claims. We think of the Egyptian pyramids as being old, and they were old even at the time of Herodotus. And he inquired, and no one knew who built them at that time. But those are like a thing of yesterday compared to 65 million years. The human mind cannot comprehend it. Only scientific notation can take note of it.
Crashing it by time.
No one sees him sobbing. No one sees a tear in his eye. No one knows he's crying. No one knows he's dying on the inside, laughing on the outside. No one knows. No one knows. No one knows. That funny little clown, you never used to see him around without his girl beside him to love and guide him until one day his girl just walked away. And from that very day, he said he never loved her anyway. No one knows. Except for me.
Except for that guy.
No one knows. Because you see, no one knows. I am that funny little clown.
Get him!
People, I've heard what actual word means. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles outside.
Oh, the aliens are trying to contact us again. They're full of it. They're blowhards. They're threatening all this stuff.
Neurological disturbances will occur if you do not agree to our demands.
People, I've heard what actual word means.
Send us a videotape.
a tape.
Caller still there?
Are they, is that so advanced?
Well,
they want a tape?
Save yourself.
They should get a thumb drive, yeah.
You mean in air limbo?
Somewhere between the phone and the radio.
So
do you miss puzzling evidence? What do you think of the Don Joyce Mobius Rex Dr. Howell show? You don't even know that you're being recorded right now. What you say, your mumbling and meaningless meandering, will be broadcast at 3 p.m. in Texas. Thousands of people will hear you, so suck in that gut, stick out that chin, thumbs along the seam to the trousers,
and tater tots that fly above the chimney pots
behind. To Bob, J.R. Bob Dobbs, the living avatar of the Church of the Subgenius. His face is the one big assembly of dots that shine in the dark. His grin is the one that's friendly, but so is the grin of the shark. He's Bob. Bob don't ever change. He's Bob. Always will be
Bob.
His pipe is the one with the dots that rings on the roofs like fire. His neck is the one with the wattle and
that rains on the roof like fire.
Bob don't ever change. He's Bob. Always will be
fame in your desire.
Bob had a woman named Connie. She was a righteous frame. She had lots of friends named Johnny when Bobby hit the trail. Bobby went up to heaven to fade Jehovah one. Bobby drew a straight seven. Jehovah he had none.
He's Bob.
He's Bob. Bob
always will be Bob.
He's Bob. Always will be Bob.
Always.
Bob wrote down to the devil who said, Bob, you better pray. Bob whang on his head with a shovel. He make that devil say,
he's Bob.
Bob don't ever cheat.
He's Bob.
Always
will be Bob.
But it was surely a sad day when Bobby came to town.
Oh, no.
He smiled and he waved on that bad day. But Wellman shot him down. He's Bob.
Bob don't ever change.
He's Bob. Always will be Bob. All you peak boys and racists and sexists, you TV watching creeps, when Bob comes back with the exists, you're all gonna die in heaps. Heaps? He's Bob. Bob will never change.
He's Bob.
Look at those heaps. Welcome, welcome to the Church of the Subgenius. Step forward, our only caller of the evening, and receive the grand prize for listening to the Subgenius Show.
And by the way, it's perfectly fine to say familiar with, to end your sentence with a preposition. To say it wasn't fine is an 18th century prejudice, because in Latin you can't end your sentence with a preposition, but Latin schmatten, this is
Rock
English.
Rock the Wheel on KPFA.
It's time to operate.
Operate?
Stimulate the attention gland. That's right. Surgically open the third nostril and enhance receptivity to our radio broadcast. We broadcast during the twilight hours, etc., etc., between the dusk and the twilight, known as the chillin' hour.
Early morning.
Yeah, that's
he's
right. Yeah,
but
yeah, like that. Like he said. Yeah, like that guy said. Come on, more. Out with it. I can't keep it up. Come on.
Please cooperate with all government agencies, regardless of any previous commercial commitment. Time is over for debate. And any suggestion of ism except Americanism is to be eliminated from our microphone completely.
Short time
the
there was.
The signature at the bottom of that note.
Ye well may guess for music.
J.R. Station was.
J.R. Bob Dobbs. J.R. Bob Dobbs. J.R. Bob Dobbs. J.R. Bob Dobbs. Pipe in his grin forever smoking.
Last smoking, guttering, sputtering flames of the Subgenius Show. The show of the submen.
Sub-genius thoughts
the
are provoking.
Provoking.
He's always on the job.
Survivors and
he is our Bob.
Or perchance, mutated though they be. And gnarled and twisted from their lives of tunneling without light through the subgenial substratum. They are harbingers of humanity's future state.
Pseudo-paleolithic
precursors of future man. The sublime subgenial status of future man argues the latter interpretation.
Yeah, nobody's listening. Give it up, Doc.
Indeed be so. Oh, if you callers only knew the pathetic reality underlying your foolish procedures.
Now don't get that way. Nobody's going to like this show.
Don't you know me?
I'm the world's largest dwarf,
and also the world's tiniest giant.
Yeah, right. We've been over that.
Yes, I, Dr. Howell, am mightiest of the submen, the undermen, the greatest in the lower arc.
Speaking of submen,
of course, we're inferior to normal people, we undermen, but none of
I had a message from Bishop Joey today.
I, Dr. Howell,
apparently,
almost,
fell and hit his head and passed out. So I hope he's all right. You know, these things happen when you're old like me and him. You gotta watch out because you might fall over and bust something.
Down, pulled down with the undertow.
The body is like that. The parts wear out. Replacement is expensive and difficult and often unsatisfactory.
Root and burrow. Our burrows tunneling past roots and the warm earth smell of a bean burrito.
Of a bean burrito, which I stopped and bought for puzzling evidence on our last voyage. It sure was tasty.
Cricket inhabits the American Southwest and portions of coastal California.
Well, folks, I said I would close up shop early, but as sometimes happens, the show just got a hold of me, and, well, I guess now we've only got 5 minutes. 5 minutes to vacate the premises.
To live out a peaceful existence in tune with its environment, unless there are humans in the vicinity, when its ear-piercing stridulations herald its immediate aggression.
Yeah, though you don't want one of those things to bite you. They can. Really.
Superstitious peasants, however, persist in believing in the alleged poisonousness of the creature when it is found in the straw in the stall of a dead horse.
Yeah, but how come the horse is dead if it isn't poisonous?
To me, after all, what killed the horse?
Yeah, what's that all about?
Maybe it was poisonous. Maybe these superstitious peasants know.
Okay, I don't believe it's poisonous, but I think in my researches I discovered what was going on. You see, the Chaco, as the superstitious peasants call it, has setae, which are essentially urticating bristles, which is to say, even a little hair that comes off these creatures, and they have only a few, if it gets in your eyes, will put you in a world of hurt, or it will embed itself in your skin. You don't want to pick them up, you don't want to mess with them.
It's been so long since I heard the lovely voice of Fantasy Caller.
Well, we're not going to hear it. There will be no voice of Fantasy Caller. Instead, we're going to say, as we wander through life, there are fewer nodes of enjoyment than we find ourselves willing to believe. But such a true one is a message prepared with affection before thought for followers, listeners, and simple fellow travelers who may happen upon our creation. And so, now preparing to send this show to sleep with its ancestors, we look at this grainy 16mm film of ducks bobbing on a pond. The reason they show this is, I think, to promote serenity and make people tired so they go to sleep and not stay around buzzing and bothering everybody else. But it doesn't always have that effect. To some, these films of ducks who are now dust for decades, these films demand
your attention and demonstrate the futility of struggle against the diuternity and inevitability of time. Time has endless rarities and shows of all varieties, which reveals old things in heaven, makes new discoveries in earth, and even earth itself a discovery. That great antiquity, America, lay buried, as far as some people were concerned, in the earth. For thousands of years. And a large part of the earth, even now, is still in the urn unto us. As Sir Thomas Browne said in his immortal work, Hydriotaphia, or Urn Burial.